Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to the meeting house of the Unitarian Congregation of the South Fork, Unitarian Universalist Congregation of the South Fork. My name is Margie Polkingham. I'm worship assistant, and today we have Nancy Runkus giving us wonderful music, and Kimberly Johnson, our minister, is our speaker today. Have you ever wondered why people have such divergent views about politics and religion? Is it just because there are a lot of stupid people, the ones that don't agree with us, or is there more to it than that? Join us for a discussion of the righteous mind. In it, social psychologist Jonathan Haidt shows how people form opinions intuitively and only then generate rational arguments to justify them. He uncovers the five wellsprings of moral judgment and shows how liberals, conservatives, and libertarians differ in the relative importance they assign to each. We'll be discussing Haidt's ideas on three Sunday afternoons at 1 p.m., and the first session will be on September 25th. Other announcements are found in your order of service, and if you'd like to put announcements in the order of service, please get them to the congregational office by Thursdays. If you haven't already, please do silence your electronic devices before we begin our worship with the prelude from Nancy.
Our theme this month is Covenant, and so our annual Water Communion, which you'll be invited to participate in later, is a way that we reaffirm our covenant of care with each other. But on this morning, we pause to remember the tragedies of September 11th, 2001. In times of national tragedy, it can be hard to balance remembering remembering pain and loss and mourning, with a call, an urge, an instinct to move on. We pause to acknowledge loss and also to recognize our own grief, our own pain, and our own mourning. And also, as I have been hearing from so many of the survivors and families of victims on television this weekend, we remember at this time that life is precious. And we commit ourselves again to living our lives more fully. Our opening words are from Richard Gilbert, A Cup of Beauty. We come together as rivers seek the sea, bringing with us waters of the earth. We begin as tiny springs and far off places, gathering strength as we plunge down rough ravines and flow through peaceful valleys. Always there are other living streams that join us, flow with us, sharing their strength. Our ultimate destination is the great ocean of being. We are like waters of the earth, seeking peacefulness as a still glimmering lake, searching for strength as a raging river, longing for freshness as the mountain spring. And so from springs and streams, lakes and oceans, we co-mingle these waters in a cup of beauty. We pour the moments of our lives into a container that gives them shape and substance, knowing we are part of that great ocean of being. We treasure those fragile droplets that belong to us. Here and now, we can think, here and now, we give thanks for the cup of beauty and the precious contents which are our lives. These are ours to create, to behold, to enjoy. We begin by lighting our chalice, which is a symbol of our connection to this larger faith. I invite you to read the unison words printed in your order of service, as someone other than me lights the chalice this morning. And so we gather from the ebb and flow of our lives, thirsty for connection to ourselves, thirsty for connection to others, thirsty for connection to the larger life. As we light this chalice, may all who gather here be filled with joy and hope, filled with compassion and love. Here may we be filled, so that we may pour ourselves out into the world. Please rise in body or in spirit as you're able and willing, and join in singing our opening hymn, number 347.
Gather the Spirit.
Our separate fires will kill.
Once upon a time, there was a drop of water named Higgins. Higgins was no ordinary drop of water. He was a drop with a dream. Higgins lived in a valley where it had not rained in a very long time. So all the lovely green grass was turning brown, all the beautiful flowers were wilting, and all the trees were starting to droop. Higgins had a dream that one day the valley would be a beautiful place again. But what could he do? After all, he was only a drop of water. One day, Higgins decided to travel and tell others about his dream. All the other drops listened very politely, but no one believed that his dream could come true.
Higgins, get your head out of the clouds. You can't spend your whole life dreaming.
Higgins decided that he had to do something to make his dream come true. So he began to think and think and think. One day, as he was walking by a rusty old bucket, he got an idea.
If enough of us drops of water got together in this bucket, there would be enough water to sprinkle on a few flowers to help them grow and become beautiful again.
Eagerly, Higgins told everyone his great idea, but everyone thought he was being foolish. Higgins decided that he had to do something to convince the others that he was right. And so he said to them,
I don't know about you, but I'm getting into the bucket. I hope some of you will join me. Then there might be enough water to help at least some flowers grow beautiful again.
So Higgins ran as hard as he could, hopped way up into the air, and landed with a big plunk in the bottom of the bucket. And there he sat. Just one drop in the bucket. For a long time, Higgins was very lonely. It seemed that no one else was going to join him. But after a while, some of the other drops could see that the grass was drying, and the flowers were wilting, and the trees were drooping. They all agreed that something must be done. Suddenly, one drop shouted,
I'm going in the bucket with Higgins.
And he leaped through the air and landed plunk in the bucket. And two other drops yelled,
wait for us.
And they hopped through the air and landed in the bucket.
Then 10 drops jumped through the air into the bucket.
Then 30.
Then 50. Then hundreds of drops came from all around just to hop into the bucket.
Soon the bucket was completely full of water. But there were still more drops that wanted to join, so they found another bucket.
Before long, there were 2 buckets of water, then 3, then 4, then 10, and then hundreds, and then thousands of buckets of water.
Along came a powerful breeze that blew over all the buckets, and all the water flowed together to make a mighty stream. Everywhere the water flowed, the grass turned green again, and the flowers bloomed, and the trees stood tall and straight.
All this happened because Higgins had a dream, and his dream came true. Because he knew that although he was just a drop in the bucket, enough drops in the bucket make a bucketful. And when there are enough bucketfuls, with the wind behind them, then justice will roll down like waters, and righteousness like a mighty stream.
Yeah.
I invite you to join now in a spirit of prayer, meditation, reflection, to relax your body, to be present to whatever it is that you are feeling this morning. Our words are from Marta Valentin. In gatherings, we are stirred, like the leaves of the fall season rustling around sacred trees, tossed hither and yon until we come to rest together, quietly, softly. We come to gather strength from each other. We come to give strength to each other. We come to ask for strength from the spirit of all that is and is not. When our hearts sing or when they frown, it is the way of compassion telling us to give. It is the way of peace telling us to share our gifts. For we are happiest and most powerful when love is made apparent in and through us. Spirit of the circle that is love, as we twirl in this dance that is life, we give thanks for reminding us each day of our task of ministering to each other with a searching glance, a safe touch, a generous smile, a thoughtful word. Thank you for reminding us that we are always building our beloved community. Thank you for reminding us that through our covenant with each other, that through our covenant with you, we covenant with each other and are made whole. In gratitude, we celebrate with open hearts and minds. We discover who we are, separate from each other and within one another. In this circle that holds all life, may we ever work toward widening its boundaries until there are none. Blessed be. We're going to try again our hymn of the month, our meditation hymn, which is number 1037 in your teal hymnal. Silent when a single voice would have made a difference.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time that our fears have made us rigid and inaccessible.
We forgive ourselves and each other.
For each time we have struck out in anger without just cause.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time that our greed has blinded us to the needs of others.
We forgive ourselves and each other.
For the selfishness that sets us apart and alone.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For falling short of the admonitions of the Spirit.
We forgive ourselves and each other.
For losing sight of our unity.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For those and for so many acts, both evident and subtle, which have fueled the illusions of separateness.
We forgive ourselves and each other.
Is actually quite beautiful. So, in a moment, after another hymn, I'm going to invite you to share the water that you have brought to add to our common bowl. In addition to adding your water, you are invited to share with us why that water is meaningful for you. And if you did not bring any, then you are invited to still share and use the pitcher that's on the table. I wanted to share first, though, a little bit about the history of this ritual. It's not a very old one. The water communion was first used as a ritual in 1980 at the Unitarian Universalist Women and Religion Continental Convention in East Lansing, Michigan. It was titled Coming Home Like Rivers to the Sea. The ritual was created by Lucille Shuck Longview and Carolyn McDade, whose name you might recognize from the hymn Spirit of Life. They had been coming to a growing awareness, and one that had been growing among Unitarian Universalists, of the way that sexism was stifling our faith. And so they developed this ritual. They were looking for new symbols that would be inclusive. At that time, a real change from women's experience at churches. One that would speak to women's connectedness to each other and to our planet. They turned to water as a symbol of women's spirituality and one that had deep meaning in the lives of women. Here's how they described that experience. Making our way like rivers from places distant and near, we come together to give shape new spirituality. For there is no theology that calls women to strength rather than the support of others, that calls women to action rather than passivity, that calls women to full expression rather than meek acceptance. Recognizing that, we see we must question every box, every definition, every assignment from an authority outside our own beings, so that we can create and recreate for ourselves the rituals and symbols that give meaning to us. So we come together to question, to hear, to share, to speak, to inspire, and to celebrate through new rituals, knowing that our energy and our love are transforming. Celebrating now our connectedness, we chose water as our symbol and our empowerment. As rivers in a cycle release their waters and regain new beginnings, so do we cycle. For us as women, these beginnings are powerful, but not easy. But still, we come to create and to celebrate and to live by the only spirituality worthy of our devotion, a spirituality that uplifts, empowers, and connects. Water is a spiritual symbol and has deep meaning not just for women. Most world religions recognize water as sacred and included in sacred healing and cleansing and purifying rituals. Water may also symbolize many other things. For me, it symbolizes a steadiness and a quiet strength. Over time, water can erode rock. I didn't believe that when I first heard it, but over time, it's like easy breezy water can erode mountains. It symbolizes adaptability. Water has the ability to take the shape of whatever vessel it finds itself in. It is powerful and life-giving, one of the most precious of Earth's resources. When we go off into space trying to decide if other planets are livable, what we look for is evidence of water. Water is also a human and a sacred right. As I was thinking about this, the importance of water, I can't help but think about two different stories from this year. One is the Flint water crisis in Michigan. Over the past 2 years, the people there have been struggling with lead contamination from corrosive pipes that have poisoned their water. They hear that it is fixed from many of the same people who unfixed it in the first place. This was a disaster that was entirely avoidable. This was a human tragedy brought on by neglect and by divestment in poor communities. And I can't help also this week not mention the Standing Rock Sioux tribe, who this past week have been fighting to stop the construction of the Dakota Access crude oil pipeline that would run through not just their sacred burial grounds, but also threaten that tribe's water supplies. These are live reminders to respect the preciousness of this earth's water. They are reminders of our connection to this water, and a call to remember our connections to each other. Access to water is a human right and a sacred right, and it's our responsibility as people of faith and people of justice to do what is within our power to help ensure that right. This morning, as we share our water, may we answer the invitation from Longview and McDade to hear, to share, to speak, to inspire, and to celebrate through ritual, knowing that our energy and our love are transforming. I'm going to ask you to join if you're willing. I expect you might be willing to sing hymn number 100. I've got peace like a river.
Water is sacred. It is made sacred by the many hands that have poured it with intention and love. The many stories that each drop contains, the many lives surrounding it in this unique moment, connected by commitment and faith.
This water is
sacred. May it continue to flow through this community with shining reflections of the unique gifts that flow through each of its members. May it continue to nurture this community with sustaining hope that we journey together through ripples of growth and change. May it continue to bless this community with loving reminders of our collective responsibility to one another and to the world. May its ripples be a reminder that the changing and growth within this community bring movement and transformation to the world beyond our doors. May its purity offer grace to our community and the willingness to forgive ourselves and one another when we make mistakes. In moments when we are confused or uncertain, may it bring us clarity of purpose and commitment. In moments when the reservoirs of our hearts and spirits are drained by sorrow or pain, may it nourish them with the knowledge that we are surrounded by a deep and abundant love. Okay. We're going to go ahead to the closing hymn, 1064, Blue Boat Home.
Also printed in your order of service. We extinguish this flame, not the light of truth, the warmth of community.